Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. On this, the feast day of All Saints, my mind, filled with NyQuil and other things, wanders to the many saints of the church that I have read or have been told stories about, including those stained glass faces in this church and in so many others. The names rattle around and surround me like a great cloud, too many to list, not enough time to name them all. But interestingly enough, my mind zeroes in on one saint in particular, St. Paul, and a letter of his, but not the one we heard this morning. Instead, the one he wrote to the church in Corinth. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are ill-clad and buffeted and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become and are now as the refuse of the world, the offscouring of all things. In contemporary language, they are the scum of the earth. Or in the vernacular of a theologian and pastor I greatly appreciate, losers. Now, this might seem a little bit absurd as we gather today to celebrate the lives of the saints, the celebration in Christ Jesus of both the church triumphant and the church militant. But it is this very existence and relationship of the body of Christ that informs us to dabble in such labels as scum of the earth and losers. There is a tendency we have as sinner saints to focus too heavily on one part of our identity and not the other. Now, St. Luke's version of the Beatitudes, you see, contains language that is just familiar enough to us that we can easily read or listen to it without really paying any attention at all. We tend to hear it through Matthew's better-known version, where the poor are the poor in spirit, and those who hunger and thirst do so for the sake of righteousness. Not so in Luke. In Luke, they're just poor and hungry and hated. Vagrant beggars who can't sustain themselves, can't provide for themselves or their families, are even hard to look at, and are a drain on the system. In short, they're losers. And yet, Jesus calls them blessed. Why? Is it simply because God's always reserving God's most acute attention for those in need, those left behind by the powers that be, those left out of the lavish bounty of the world's production? Sometimes we refer to this as God's preferential treatment of the poor. At other places, it's epitomized by recognizing that God is always on the side of the underdog. The Magnificat came to mind most of all. God's unfailing and unflagging concern for the losers of this world is etched across the pages of Scripture in letters deep and clear enough for anyone who is willing to read or to listen to see. For what is the promise of mercy to those who are not weak? Forgiveness to those who have not sinned, grace to those who do not need it, or life to those who are not dead? It is at best meaningless and more likely downright offensive. Only finally, as losers, can and one appreciate the blessing that Jesus offers and confers. Well, that's all well and good for the losers of the world, but people like you and I, we work too hard and accomplish too much on a daily basis to be lumped into a pile such as the one described by St. Paul. Or could we? We are not racked by insecurities. We don't stumble in our relationships or our professional dealings. We know how to love ourselves. We know exactly how to love our neighbors. Aren't we all well-adjusted, well-read, thoughtful citizens of the world? Do we not lead interesting lives that are the envy of family and friends alike? Or does this sound further and further from the truth, with the great realization that wherever we may see ourselves on the spectrum of life, that every one of us, we're all just destined for a niche in that wall or a hole in the ground? That, in essence, we are all losers. Losers in need of redemption, mercy, and grace found in Christ Jesus. That when we die, the prayer is the same for those deemed pious among us and those regarded as rascals. Trusting in God's love in Jesus Christ, we are all commended to God in the same manner, as lambs of your own flock and sinners of your own redeeming. On this All Saints Day, I think it is deeply important for us to remember that the saints in light and the saints who sit next to us in the pew are basically one and the same. Jesus is clear that there is no one saint in the church who was some ubermensch or superwoman, a hero, a lone hero in the story of salvation. Simply just a bunch of flawed sinners who God used and uses to do divine things. Samuel Wells, who is the vicar of St. Martin in the Fields in London and a professor at King's College, eloquently surmised that stories told with heroes at the center of them are told to laud the virtues of the hero. For if the hero failed, all would be lost. By contrast, the saint can fail in a way that the hero can't, because the failure of the saint reveals the forgiveness and the new possibilities made in God. And the saint is just a small character in a story that is fundamentally about God. And it is this story, the story that's always fundamentally about God, that we celebrate today. All Saints Sunday invites us to recognize and affirm our common bond and union with Christians from all times. Women and men, rich and poor, queer and straight, people from all times and all places, all shapes and sizes, join together as the body of Christ, not because of who we are, what we have, or what we've done, but because in Christ, God has called us holy and blessed, as in the words of Daniel and in that letter to Ephesians, and has set us apart to be witnesses to God's grace and goodness to all the world. So on this festival day, I remind you, blessed are you, scum of the earth. Blessed are you, losers. Amen, and thanks be to God.